Lord, the door cracks open to a new day and a new time. Fresh air and blue skies, faces we've longed to see. You make all things new. It is not the same world we left, and it may never be again. But you are the God of restoration. You, O God, make a way in the wilderness, a river in the desert. Where we have turned away, Lord, we come back and pray for healing, for our land, for our people. We pray that you refresh our faith, our relationships, our communities, our purpose. We gather our courage, our hands will be strong, our voices will be loud, and we will carry the good news of your beautiful hope. As we step out, you are with us. Our work has just begun.
Good morning, Lifeway. Good morning. Welcome online. We are finishing the last message in the series of Nehemiah, so the wall will be coming down today. I was teasing Kyle. He had some help from a real artist, and so he painted many of those. And so I told him we would auction off sections of the wall and put it in the Daring Faith Building Fund. And so he'll be here to autograph them next week. I want to thank y'all for being here. We are continuing in our series of Nehemiah. And we started off with a revival. We started off with a rebuild. Then there was a restore. And then we looked at revival. And I'm going to tell you, I wish the book of Nehemiah ended with chapter 12. Chapter 12 was the high point. Last week was the high point. They celebrated, they worshiped. Now, just to remind you of how thick those walls were, remember, they built apartments inside those walls. Those walls were thick. Some walls were 30, 40, 50 feet thick, with buildings and homes inside of them. And at the end of chapter 12, we see that Nehemiah puts two large choirs together, and he puts them one on each side of the wall, and they're singing and praying, and they're saying that everybody is praising the Lord, and their hearts are full of joy. Folks, if it was a Hallmark movie, it would have ended right there. But it didn't, and sadly, we see chapter 13, which I'm going to tell you, just starting off by telling you this right now. Chapter 13 represents every single believer in Jesus Christ today, and I'll explain a little bit about that in a moment. But what we see here is a slide from chapter 12, praising and worshiping, and it says, all their hearts full of joy. And then chapter 13, here's what happens. Nehemiah, after completing and rededicating the wall and all that service in chapter 12, he goes back to the king of Persia. He goes back to his job, his day job. And he's gone for some 10 to 12 years, and then he comes back. What do you think he's going to find? Anybody? Boy, I tell you what, backsliders. That's an old church word, isn't it? Backsliders. Don't say that in a Baptist church, because that's all the Baptists slide to the back row, you know. If you didn't grow up in church, you won't appreciate this joke. But do you know the two things that are never touched in a Baptist church? The first row and the third verse of a song. You ever been in one of those traditional Baptist churches? You ever been in a traditional Baptist church? And the song leader will be up there and there'll be five verses to the song and he'll sing. He'll say, we're going to sing the first, second, and the last. That poor old third verse. If I was writing hymns, I just wouldn't write a third verse. I'd write first, second, and fourth. Because the poor third verse never gets touched. And many people, unless they're serving in ministry, are really brave with their raincoats, don't sit on the front row. There was some backsliding going on. What we see here is Nehemiah shows up some 10 or so years later. And when he comes onto the scene, he does not recognize the place that he left. I remember as a kid, there was five of us kids in the family. My mom and dad decided to go somewhere for a couple of hours. They gave us instructions of everything they wanted done, and we were told, have it done before we get back. Anybody else ever been in that situation? And so you go, I got plenty of time. And next thing you know, we hear the car door slam, and we begin feverishly to work, cleaning and doing. And as they walk in, they're like, what is this? Because actually the house was in worse shape than when they left. This is what Nehemiah walked back into, a place that was in worse shape than when he had left them. And remember, these people, it says that they had bound themselves with a curse and an oath to obey the commands of the Lord. Remember that? They said, we're going to take an oath, a promise, and we're taking upon ourselves a curse. If God, if we don't do what you said, what we said we will do, put a curse on us. Curse us. May bad things happen to us. Have you ever made a promise with a curse built into it? No, you haven't, because you know you break the majority of the promises you make. That's why as a parent, when you have your children say things to you like this, do you promise? Yeah, I promise. Do you really promise? You know why your kids make you repeat that promise? Because you've lied to them and broken your promises in the past. There's not a parent here that can say, oh, I've never done that. Because if so, you need to get up on your knees and get to the altar today. These people made an oath and a curse. If they did not do what God had called them to do, things were going great. I would say chapter 12 ends like Sunday morning at church. Oh, we love the Lord. We're singing. We're listening to the word. We're with our fellow believers. And then Monday, chapter 13 happens. Here's where we find them. Starting off, first thing I want you to see is this, and everything I want to share with you about Nehemiah, I'm going to talk about Nehemiah, but then I'm going to give you some really good practical applications. And the application of this first section is this. We need to keep our lives focused on holy things. Verses 1 through 3. And on that day they read aloud from the book of Moses. That is the law, the teachings that God gave Moses to give to them in the hearing of the people. And there was found written in it that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever be in the assembly of God, for, because they did not meet the sons of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them to curse them. However, our God turned the curse into a blessing. So when they heard the law, they excluded all the foreigners from Israel. Here's what happened, y'all. Decades, hundreds of years earlier, when the Israelites were about to cross the Jordan into the Promised Land, they had some distant kinfolk, excuse me, and they were known as the Ammonites and the Moabites. These are actually Jewish tribes, Jewish people. But they had fallen away, and they've done their own thing, and they'd fallen into idol worship and children sacrifice. It's the grossest stuff. I couldn't even say it with all the kids in the room, how bad their lifestyle was. And there was a tradition. I'm eventually going to fix that. There was a tradition that you met somebody with bread and water in the desert, you know. You see a stranger, you give them something to eat and something to drink. Well, not only did the Ammonites and the Moabites not show them hospitality. Wow, that's going to sound good on the live feed. They hired an evil priest, Balaam, to come and pronounce a curse on them. If y'all remember the story about the talking donkey? The donkey sees the angel of the Lord standing in the roadway, and the donkey goes, nope. And then Balaam starts beating on the donkey, like, get back on the road. And the donkey's like, no. And finally, God lets the donkey speak, and the donkey turns and he goes, hey, why are you beating me? Do you see? Thank you. Is that red Kool-Aid? Okay. Ooh, city water. Mm. I pray for you folks that live in town. Send the comments to Kyle Clinton at LifewayQuero.tv. This priest, this evil priest, is on his way to pronounce a curse, and he's beating his donkey, and his donkey's like, no, I see that fiery guy. I'm not going. And then finally, the donkey turns and says to Balaam, hey, why are you beating on me? Do you really want me to go right there? We will die. And then Balaam goes, uh-oh. And then instead, God instructs him, you're not going to go pronounce a curse. You're going to go pronounce a blessing on them. And Balaam does. And I bet he spends the rest of his life looking at that donkey like, got anything else to say? A talking donkey. Listen, the moral of that story is very simple. There's hope for everyone in this room because God can use a jackass. Right? Am I right? There is hope for all of us. You may just be the talking donkey, but guess what? That talking donkey was used by God to bless the people of Israel. And so this is why they're not allowed to intermarry, because this is what happened. They started intermarrying with these false cults. Oh, wow, yeah. Can you take that substandard water back? Ooh, this is just water. I'm going to turn the label out so you can see it. I'm advertising. And so here's what happened. These people were evil. Their entire worship system was based on sexual immorality. Children sacrificed. These were horrible. These were the horrible people. And in our day and time right now, you might say something like this. Hey, that seems a little racially insensitive. Well, number one, they were Jewish. Number two, it had nothing to do with the color of their skin. It was because they practiced evil. And 30 years earlier, Ezra, the priest, which y'all have to understand is, while Nehemiah, he's not a prophet, he went back to rebuild the wall, and get the people back on track. Ezra was a priest. He was back to rebuild the temple of Jerusalem after it had been ransacked, okay? 30 years earlier, Ezra brings some of the Israelites out of Babylonian captivity. And he had the same problem. They started intermarrying. Their men started taking their wives. And before you know it, they had in-laws as outlaws. And they started adopting some of their sinful ways of worship. And the way they acted, they were worshiping idols and all these sexual immorality type of things. And God knew it's not the color of the skin that he was worried about. It was the content of their hearts that he was upset about. You stand close enough to the fire and you're going to get burned. This has happened so many times. Somebody will come with a question and they'll say, well, is it okay if I do this? If I do this, is it a sin? Well, what if I just do this? Is that a sin? And basically what they're saying is the same question you ask yourself. What they're saying is, how close to the line of sin can I stand without going over it? Does that make sense? And my answer has been the same for the last 30 years. The question you have shouldn't be, how close can I get to the sin without it being sin? The question in your heart should be is, how can I stand so far away from it that I won't fall over the edge? Do you know that nobody's ever fallen off a cliff that didn't stand on the edge? Did y'all know that? Seriously. Did you know that if you are 100 miles away from the Grand Canyon, there's no way you can fall in the Grand Canyon? Did y'all know that? But there's always somebody, isn't there? Guess who falls off the cliff? People that stand next to it. And that's what was going on here. And it says that they were put out. And so when they heard the law, they excluded the foreigners from Israel. And look, it's a way of warning. I mean, if you're a parent, haven't we told our kids, you are who you hang out with? And if you got little kids, remember that right now. Get to know all of their friends and their friends' parents. My place was the place to hang out when my kids were preteens and teenagers, my house was the house to hang out at. You know why? There we always had pizza. We always had Snicker bars. We always had stuff to make milkshakes. We had everything. My kids didn't appreciate the fact that their friends would say, "Hey, let's hang out at your house this weekend." Oh, my gosh. My dad. And so they all liked me. And I made sure they liked me. And I made sure they would talk to me. And then sometimes sitting in the other room as they were talking about this person or that person, or guess what so-and-so did at that party? I'm listening. I'm just memorizing names. Because one day one of my kids, I won't use Tyler's name, and he goes, "Hey, Dad, I'm going to go spend the night at so-and-so." I'm like, "Nope. Why not?" That kid's a bad influence, and you don't need any assistance. "Dad, you don't even know him." I said, "I know what he did at the party. I know that he said this to that girl, and I know he did this and this and this." "How do you know that?" I said, "Dads know everything. Your kids need to believe that you have ears and eyes on the back of your head." Here's the thing. If you stay away from those who have a lifestyle and a habit of sin and sinfulness, it cannot rub off on you. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not a constant testimony and a witness before them. I'm not saying run off and join an Amish cult or anything. Not that the Amish are a cult. There was a comma in there, Amish slash comma cult. Don't run off and hide from the world. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. But that don't mean you snuggle up with the world. And so that was the problem they were going through here. And so we have to watch out for the little things that will start to slide. The little things that tend to grow. And if you look at the next part in verses 4 through 6, I call this a time to clean house. Old Nehemiah, you got to like him. He would have been fired as a Baptist pastor. The elder board would have fired this cat right after this. Now, prior to this, Eliashib, the priest, who was appointed over the chambers of the house of God, that's who Nehemiah put in charge before he left, he said, being related to Tobiah. Do y'all remember this cat? Do y'all remember Tobiah's name? Remember when the wall was down here? Do y'all remember that? Do you remember who he was? He was one of the three of the Mo, Curly, and Larry that was cursing them, threatening them, and trying to get them to stop building the wall. That's who this cat is. And it says this. He was appointed over the chambers of the house of God, that's the priest, being related to Tobiah, had prepared a large room for him where formerly they put the grain offerings, the frankincense, and the utensils, and the tithes of grain, of wine, and oil, prescribed for the Levites, that's the priests, the singers, and the gatekeepers, and the contributions for the priest. But during all this time, I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year, he says, I was back with the king. He says, after some time, however, I asked for leave. He shows up 10 years later, and he sees this. Now, Tobiah is an Ammonite, the enemy that consistently opposed rebuilding the wall and gave Nehemiah such a terrible time. The high priest, Eliashib, allowed his grandson to marry Tobiah's daughter. See what happened? And so now that he's family with the high priest takes the room. Now, y'all have to understand, back in that day and time, the priests, the singers, and the gatekeepers, they didn't have land. They weren't out farming. They weren't out gathering crops to feed themselves. They were to stay at the temple, dedicating themselves to service. And the entire congregation brought in a tithe. They brought in a portion of their wine, of their olive oil, of their grain, and all the offerings. And all of that was stored in a big room. And that's how they fed themselves and took care of their families, because they had dedicated their lives to the Lord. Do you see a direct correlation to that, to anything today? Anybody picking up on this? A pastor today shouldn't spend 80 hours a week at a secular job because he can't be taking care of ministry. That is why it is the duty and the obligation, and literally the command, to the members of a church to support the ministry and the pastor so that he can dedicate himself to the work of the Lord. We see it all the way back in the Old Testament. So what happens? The high priest takes all that stuff and gets rid of it. And then he moves in his outlaw in-law. And then the priests have nothing. There's no more food. They have to leave. And so we can see from this, the high priest had allowed his grandson to marry this into this Ammonite family. Now we pick up verse 7 through 9. He says, "And I came to Jerusalem and I learned about the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah for preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God." Y'all, if we stop that verse right there, do you see the sin in this? He took a room. Just picture today. If Kyle, because you know I'd never do it. If Kyle, Pastor Kyle, if he gave a room to Hitler. He kicked your kids out of children's church to give Hitler a room. What would y'all's response be? Burn the witch. Would you be okay with that? I hope you wouldn't. But the people just followed blindly and said, "Oh, you know what? The Ammonites, they're really good people. I've had s'mores with them. We've even sang Kumbaya a few times. Make love, not war. Why can't we all get along, coexist, all that other junk?" God didn't tell us to coexist. He said, "I am the Creator God. You follow me and you stay away from everybody else." Doesn't mean we don't share our testimony, live in front of them. And so let's continue and see what happens next. "So I learned about the evil that Eliashib had done for Tobiah by preparing a room for him in the courts of the house of God. It was very displeasing to me." Now that's preacher talk, for I was about to have a stroke. I was so mad. He says, "I threw all of Tobiah's household goods out of the room. Then I gave an order and they cleansed the rooms. And I returned there the utensils of the house of God with grain offerings and frankincense." There was no place to keep the items for the service of the temple, nor the grain, the oil, the wine, and the food that the people would bring to support the priest and the temple workers. You know, there's always going to be somebody or something that's going to distract you. Doesn't sound really bad at first. "Hey, why don't y'all just do this?" You know, there's always going to be something. I'll tell you what, when this pandemic started, and fortunately we were already going online, we weren't live yet, so we scrambled to go live, you know, because we knew you guys were, you know, rolling out of bed going, "Oh my gosh, I need to go to church, but we can't go anywhere." And you started watching online. And I thought, this is fabulous. And now it has become a crutch. I was on a conference call with about 118 pastors. Some of them pastor churches of 1,000 to 5,000. And guess what's happening at every single church, from Lifeway to the Metroplex? Guess what's happening? People aren't coming back to church because they've gotten out of the habit. They're staying home. They would rather roll out of bed with their PJs, eat waffles, and watch Lifeway online instead of coming back to church. Oh, well, maybe they're just scared or afraid. Maybe they are. But they don't look afraid when I see them at Walmart and HEB. They don't look afraid all over town. They don't look afraid on Facebook. Kyle@lifewaycuero.tv. I'm going to tell you, we got a problem because 25% of our church and in other churches, it's 40 to 50% of the people aren't coming back because they're out of the habit. They're doing other things now. They're out of the habit. Listen, as I told someone this morning, coming to church is a habit. You must build that habit. And I was honest this morning when I said, let me tell y'all, honestly, there are some Sundays when I roll up out of that bed and I'm just like, I don't even know if I want to go to church. And Erica's like, you got to preach. I'm like, I guess I better go. So I know the pool. I know how the sheets can just trap you. You deserve another hour. And quite frankly, I like getting up on Sunday in my pajamas and watching me preach. Because we filmed it earlier. It was awesome, right? We took up an offering. You know, I'd pass the plate twice to Erica. She wasn't giving enough. I'd pass the plate back to her, you know. When you get out of the habit of doing godly things, it is hard to get back, but it is time to get back. It is time to get back. As someone quoted this morning, they said, there is no way you can sit at home and feel the love and the fellowship of your Christian family when you're not with your Christian family. And so, in the kindest, gentlest way, I'm saying, folks, it's time to come back. It's time to get real. It's time to keep going. Because we don't want to fall like they did here in Nehemiah. Now, the third point is this. You see the decline of service in God's house based on what they had just gone through. He says, I also discovered that a portion of the Levites had not been given to them, their portion. So then the Levites and the singers who performed the service had gone away, each to his own field. So I reprimanded the officials and said, why is the house of God forsaken? Then I gathered them together and restored them to their post. All Judea then brought the tithes of grain, wine, and oil into the storehouses. Why is the house of God forsaken? Why aren't we taking care of the Lord's house? Why aren't we taking care of the Lord's people? It's a little difficult for me to stand here and tell you that as one of God's people, because then people say, oh boy, here it is. We're going to talk about money. We don't ever talk about money around here. And if we only talked about money when you gave, I would probably never talk about money. Somebody warned me. Hey, don't say anything political. We could lose our tax-exempt status. I said, if you know how little people gave at this church, we don't have a whole lot to worry about. Now, there's a few of you that are extremely faithful and generous. And if it wasn't for about seven families in this church, there would be no lights on and I'd be working right now this morning. But we have to remain faithful to the Lord's house and basically to the ministry of the Lord. We have to remain faithful. We can't be Patsy Ann, okay? Does some of y'all know who Patsy Ann is? I shared with you who Patsy Ann is. I'm safe. None of my relatives are watching, okay? I'm going to tell you this. My mother had a cousin. Her name was Patsy Ann. Back in the day after Sunday dinner and everybody would come over to my grandmother's house, all the women would go in the kitchen and start doing the dishes and straightening up and stuff, you know? And her cousin, when it was time to do dishes, would always go to the bathroom. And she'd close the door. And she would be in the bathroom until the dishes were done and the kitchen was clean. My mother called me Patsy Ann one time, and I'm like, hey, why you keep calling me Patsy Ann? She told me the story. I said, I will never be Patsy Ann. Don't y'all be Patsy Ann, okay? Or as I like to call Gary Ho, Blister, because he shows up after the work is done. Now, I can tease Gary about that. Now, y'all listen to me. Y'all listen carefully. I can tease Gary Hull about that today. Because 20 years ago, before y'all even knew this place existed, Gary Hull was hanging off of three tiers of scaffolding, working on this wall, leaning out with one hand and one arm, pulling old wallpaper off. That man worked and worked, and he was as faithful as they could ever be. I tease him now. But if he hadn't been that faithful, I couldn't tease him. And he's family. I have to. He's family. But if it weren't for the faithful people, Lifeway wouldn't be where we are today. And it takes faithful people to serve, to give, and to help us do what God's calling us to do here. You know, before the pandemic, we were 325 people. Did y'all know that? Don't y'all want to get back to that? Are you happy? Would y'all be okay if we just settled there? No. I think God has got way bigger things for us than 350. I said that when we were 25. By the time we reached about 75 people in membership and we started to grow, there was an old cowboy that had been coming to church here, and he says, "You know, I don't know how much longer I can stay at this church. It's just getting too big for me." He'd be lost in here today, wouldn't he? There's more kids in children's church in second service than we had in the auditorium back then. We cannot expect anything but the decline in God's house if we continue to deny to assist what God wants to do. Some of you don't know this if you didn't grow up in church, but there's this phrase about starving the preacher out. And I'm going to tell you real quickly what it is. See, in some churches, you have some very generous givers as long as you do what they want you to do. The minute you stop doing what they want you to do, they stop giving. I literally had a man at the first church I pastored look at me and he said, "Preacher, we're going to starve you out." Well, to me, he just threw down the challenge. I went and I was going to school full time. So I went out and got a full time job because the offering dropped so low they couldn't afford to pay me. And I thought, that old man will drag me out of this building. And so I worked and worked and worked and worked to feed my family until finally it set in that you're not going to starve me out. Hey, listen, when you serve at Lifeway or anywhere else, you're not serving Glenn, you're serving the Lord. When you give your tithes and offerings, you're not giving it to Glenn, you're not even giving it to the church, you're giving back to God a portion of what He gave you. Ask some people what it feels like to be stingy because they've never been blessed by God, because they've never opened up their pocketbooks and given like God says we should. And for somebody, that's a dollar. For somebody else, that's $10,000. Whoever you are, wherever you're at. But don't expect the blessings of God while you deny serving the Lord and taking care of the Lord's business. Now, the last thing we look at is this. How responsibility builds trust. And poor old Nehemiah, after all that, he comes back. And so he's cleaned house. He's kicked Tobiah out. And then it says this. In charge of the storehouses, I appointed Shelemi, the priest, Zadok, the scribe, and Pedai, the Levite. Three different people, a priest, a scribe, that's the guy who did all the writing, and then a Levite. And in addition to them, Hannah, the son of Zachar, the son of Matthai, for they were considered reliable, and it was their task to distribute to their kinsmen. Do you see what he just said? He appointed trustworthy, honorable men. Nehemiah knew he could leave and trust them to do the right thing. Now, history will tell us that they did the right thing, but decades later, the people disobeyed. How did they disobey? They kept looking over at all the fun and excitement that the Ammonites and the Moabites were having. And they married into those families again. And then they brought cult, satanic worship into the house of God. Can you imagine if we began having a service where we brought in Satanists to teach and lead worship? Can you imagine what God would think or do to us? Doesn't it sound crazy? Folks, it's not unbelievable because it has happened. And churches that lose focus of following the Lord do that. They open the door And for a lack of time, I don't have the time to do this. But if I went over to that door and I opened it just 1 inch, is it open or is it closed? It's open. And you got to get a crack in to get it all the way open, don't you? We have to be very careful. You in your life, you in your family, Lifeway as a family of believers. Just because the world says it's fun and awesome and sexy doesn't mean we have to do it. Just because they believe certain things doesn't mean we have to believe them. Somebody told me last week, well, you know, so many things have changed since the Bible was written. I said, yeah, everything but the Bible. The Bible says that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Therefore, whatever He said 2,000 years ago, if He said it was a sin then, what is it today? What is it today? And if He said that is a blessing of 2,000 years ago, what is it today? It's a blessing today. I think we ought to look at what happened. And they went through rebuilding, restoring, and reviving. And they had the big party, chapter 12, they're on the wall. It says, even the women and the little children were singing and their hearts were full of joy. And they let their guard down. And the devil snuck in the back door. Oh, we're so busy. Oh, we'll come to church. We'll do Sunday. Oh, it's very important we go to church. But then on Monday, you get close with the world again. And you start taking bad advice. Or you listen to today's culture. Or you listen to the crazy people. Now I'm going to finish with this and see if I can't make the rest of y'all mad. I'm going to tell you something. I don't get my theology from a Hollywood actor, a basketball player, or a football player. I get it from God. Okay? Here's my thing. If you're an actor and you're really good at it, then you just keep on pretending to entertain us, but don't try to tell me what I need to do with the Lord. Okay? And if you bounce a piece of leather around and you can go build you a $100 million home, don't talk about injustice to me. Because until they shut down all these sports and they start giving 75% of their money away, until they're building the NBA homeless children refuge, don't preach to me. We need to stop listening to Hollywood celebrities and athletes and return to listening to what God has to say. But boy, I tell you what, LeBron James or Oprah says it, and we're going to retweet it. If it makes Oprah mad, it ought to make us mad too. I'm out of time, and that's probably best I stop right here. It's probably best I can stop right here. So far, only children have got them going to the bathroom. Nobody said, I ain't coming back, and walked out. That's because you're going to be polite, and you're like, honey, just stay still. Service is over, we won't come back. I'm going to tell you something. You start following the world and it will put enmity, it'll put distance between you and God. And the caution that we learn from the closing book of Nehemiah. He went back to a city that was in despair. The wall was down. He rebuilt the wall. He brought the people back. He brought the word of God back. Those people stood and listen to the reading of the word for hours on hours. You guys get fidgety after 45 minutes. Is he going to do it again today? Now, if they could be where they were spiritually and fall that fast and that hard, what about us? Do you think we're susceptible to the same disease? You bet we are. You bet we are. In my opinion, we are no more dedicated than those people ever were. And many times we're less dedicated. Because they had a city, a refuge to go to and to wall themselves off from the rest of the evil world. And sometimes I wish we could build a wall around this block so that when you walked in, you could turn your kids loose and know they would be safe and you could be safe. And only thing you're going to see in here is good Christian fun, excitement, entertainment, and conversation, and just fellowship with one another. But we still have to get up and leave and walk out and go back to work on Monday and be Jesus to this world. I'm going to finish by saying this. We need to stay strong to finish strong. We need to stay strong to finish strong. We need to keep our eye on the prize of what God has called us to do. He didn't say that you can't go have some fun. He said, but don't party like the world parties. Some of you have no idea what partying even means, but when we get to heaven, you're going to be at the biggest party the universe has ever known. So they'll be singing and dancing. I got a feeling a lot of y'all are going to be signed up for classes in both subjects. I was standing next to somebody last week and she said, you sing so pretty. And I'm like, oh, thank you. She heard Kyle standing next to me. I didn't correct her. If she wanted to compliment me, I'm going to let it go. Listen, God has called us to live a different lifestyle. He's called us to be different. Well, let me ask you something. I'm asking every person in this room, are you absolutely sure that you're that person? Are you one of God's children? Do you feel Him calling you? Do you feel Him pulling you away from the world? If you don't feel any pull, if you don't feel any friction between your lifestyle and what God has called you to, I'm going to ask you the question, are you really a child of God? I'm not saying, are you a church member? I'm not saying, have you been baptized? I'm not saying, have you been to 101? I'm saying, do you see a distinction in your lifestyle and the desire God has you to go in versus the direction you're going in now? Let's just pray. Father in heaven, we just come to you now. And Father, at this very time, we have prayer counselors that are going to move to the back of the room. And if there is anybody here that needs prayer, that needs encouragement, that needs to be strengthened or lifted up, Father, I pray they'll just get up right now and walk back and ask for that prayer and sit with somebody and pray about those things. Father, if there's anybody here that needs your Son as their Savior, they realize that they've been living the very lifestyle of Nehemiah chapter 13. Father, may they call out upon to you right now and ask for that saving grace that only comes through knowing Christ as their Savior. Father, we pray for those people that need lifting up. Father, we pray for our family members, our acquaintances. Father, open up the door this week that we might be able to share our life or our faith with somebody in a very non-threatening way, but we would just be an example of grace, mercy, and patience. And Father, we pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for joining us online today.
Thank you for worshiping with us today at Lifeway Live. We hope this series on Nehemiah about rebuilding and restoring areas of your life is helping you in your walk with Christ. If today you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we want to know, so if you please reach out and contact us. Let us know. We want to celebrate with you on this exciting journey that you're going to embark on. We have resources available to you. And if you'd like to find us online, you can find us at lifewaycuero.tv. Again, thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have a blessed day and have a great week.